Welcome to Self, where we discover what it means to be human in a society that shames us for trying to be ourselves.
Within Self, we will delve into topics that make us who we are. We know that there's a lot of bullshit in the world that tells you what you are and what you are not.
We're here to help you and ourselves filter through that. Come along with us as we embark on this journey of self.
Hi, you ready?
Hey, we are back with episode 9. Is she on this shit?
We are on it this time.
We killed the game this time. Okay, so we are joined by a very special guest, with my friend Sakura Childs. Say hi.
Hi.
I've known Sakura since my freshman year of high school.
So freshman year.
We've been best friends ever since. Mm-hmm. It's a friendship that has been fucking crazy as shit. Batshit crazy.
Has it been that batshit though?
It has been batshit crazy. Literally, my ears are still ringing. But probably
it's rude.
Did you not hear the scream when she got here?
I actually didn't. I got your text, but I didn't hear the scream.
The neighbor kept looking at her and looking at me, and I was like, it's fine. He just kept walking and like looking. I was like, can you just walk away? But anyways, no, it's just been one of the most loving relationships. We don't always show affection to each other, but when we do, it means a lot.
Like, very sparse.
It's like via text message, but
yeah.
In person, we're like...
That's, yeah, basically. Like, don't touch me.
Do you
show emotional affection, or...?
I mean, sometimes, like...
I mean, verbal.
Oh, verbal? I mean, yeah, say...
I tell him I love him all the time.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that's important to tell your people that you care about.
I say thank you.
I say
it back.
Sometimes we'll be like, I love you too.
No, I feel inside. She's also the mother of my goddaughter, Zanaya.
Your first godchild.
My first godchild. Hopefully my only one, to be honest. Actually, no. I mean, I don't be everyone's spiritual guide in life.
Shut up.
But I'm so excited to be her godchild and godfather. She's...
You have to see her today too on FaceTime.
I know, and she's so cute.
How old is she?
She's 16 months.
She's 16 months.
She's
oh
so
my god, that's
cute.
Such funny.
Oh my god, no, she has to take a picture of her. She's so fucking cute. Aww. And she gets smiling. Well, she's smiling. She's all like, self support or something like me. She was like,
yeah.
I was like, little bitch. Little bitch. Yeah, no, if she gets it 10 years, I'm like, you little bitch. You didn't smile even though she's fucking so fucking cute. I would steal her.
She's the best. I wouldn't trade her for anything on this planet. I love having her. She's my favorite. God,
What's it like when you're pregnant versus now? What, like, what's going through your mind when you're becoming a mom?
Oh. So, my pregnancy wasn't, like, the traditional one, in a sense, due to my current, like, not my current situation, but that situation I was in. Mm-hmm. I was going through a divorce at the time, mm-hmm. and my daughter's father wasn't being the most supportive person, mm-hmm. very abusive verbally. So, it was really, I don't want to say it was stressful, but it wasn't, you know, when... You get pregnant, especially when you're married, you kind of think of it's like this beautiful, magical thing that you and your partner go through, and everything is just peachy and beautiful, and you take stupid maternity pictures, and you have a gender reveal party, and everything is just mm-hmm. fantastic, and I didn't get that at all. So, and you know, I had to, you know, do what I had to make with, so, I mean... It was hard, but I would do it all over again in a heartbeat.
How long had you been married before you got pregnant?
So, fun fact, the reason why we got married so quickly, because I've only technically, the day that we got married is the first day that we met. So we met June 23rd mm-hmm. of 2014, June 23rd, 2015, we got married.
Okay.
I got pregnant in December, and I had a miscarriage, and so we just decided, because by then we were already engaged, we actually proposed.
So the summer before you're married?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we actually he actually proposed to me before we went down here for Jordan's birthday, like 3 years ago.
Yeah,
it was 3 years ago. It was for his 20th birthday party. For his 20th birthday, he proposed to me the day before. We came here, celebrated his birthday, and then went to Disneyland. So that December, I got pregnant, had a miscarriage, and we just decided to continue on with the wedding on June 23rd. And so, you know, after we got married, June, July, August, September. I got pregnant in September. So we were only married for 3 months.
Okay.
But she was planned. I asked him if he wanted to have a baby. You know, I didn't just like pop up one day and was like, oh, I'm pregnant. Like, she was a conscious decision that we both agreed to do. And we even went to like the reproductive doctors to make sure that everything was okay, because I was terrified I didn't want to have another miscarriage, because that is traumatic. It was really sad when I went through that. And so you know, we got him checked out, we got me checked out, everything was cleared out, everything was fine. And so I found out I was pregnant with her October 1st.
Wow.
Of 2015.
How was that pregnancy? I'm curious though, because I've heard that like women who go through miscarriages, when they have the when they're pregnant after that, they kind of have a hard time like relaxing into it because you're kind of fearful. Did you kind of experience that?
I was testing my HCG levels, which is the pregnancy hormone, from the moment I found out I was pregnant all the way up until 12 weeks. And basically I was getting my blood drawn twice a week for 8 weeks.
Just to make sure everything was
okay. My doctor put me on progesterone. So I had to insert a progesterone pill inside my vagina twice a day. Because I legit was like, I don't want to have another miscarriage. I was freaking out. Because, I wasn't able to calm down. And I think it's hard because when I got to 12 weeks, that's when the placenta kicks in, and that's when you're kind of more in the safe zone. But after that, after the 12-week mark, me and my husband, we just kept fighting. So even though me and her were okay, my living situation wasn't. So that was kind of, after relaxing about the pregnancy, I had to stress about my marriage type of situation. So,
like one stress to another.
Yeah.
Were you worried at all about that affecting your pregnancy?
I think it did, because at the end I did get preeclampsia, which is basically high blood pressure due to the pregnancy. And I think because I was so stressed out about, because, you know, he threatened to take her and take her to a different country because he has dual citizenship in
another country.
Yeah, two different countries. And so I was freaking out about, you know, this man who, you know, has said some awful things about me and my child just getting up and leaving and me never able to see my kid again. Because technically he does have that. Well, he did, not anymore. But he did have that right. To just, you know, up and leave.
When you were going through that time, was your family aware of it? Were your friends aware of it? Or were you kind of like secluded dealing with like the stress of your marriage without having support?
Were you aware of it, Jordan? I feel like I informed you, but I didn't. He informed you more.
Are you okay with this being aired?
Yes, it's fine.
So she would text me sometimes, and she would say, I don't feel safe. I don't feel comfortable. And then she would say, like, I have to leave your text messages in, like, 10 minutes. And I remember that I would be, like, really scared because I would be like, your parents, can you tell them? And you think, I know at one point you had said something, but I don't think to the degree of what you would tell me. Because you would say, like, I don't feel safe. You'd say, like, he had threatened, he had threatened to kill you. He had threatened. He had threatened to kill you. So I know you had said, you had told me all of that. And you would say it, like, really briefly. And you could never, like, because here you come from wrong. He was always around. He was always around you. And then the only few moments where he wasn't around you, and those moments where he would call or text me, and he'd be like really quick. He'd text me and say, actually, your messages were, or he'd walk in and you'd be like, oh, I love seeing this when you do this or something. And we have to like play off. And it'd be really, really comfortable, especially for me, because like I realized, oh my god, sorry, I'm emotional thinking about it. like I like I'm so far away and there's nothing that I can do at all to help besides like get out of it. And I mean, at one point I was like, if you need me to come up there, I'll come up there. Like I said, I was like, if you need me to come up there, I'll come up there, wherever you need, like, tell me.
Yeah.
And she said, like, I think I got it, I can handle this. And but yeah, it was really scary. For me, I can't imagine how it was.
If you don't mind me asking, like, how did you end up getting out of that relationship? Like, I'm sure that's hard when that's your father and your child.
Yeah. So, it was November 23rd. We were at the mall, and we had an argument in my car about something. I don't know exactly what. I can't remember. All I remember is that he kicked two dents into my car that I had at the time. Mm-hmm. And that's when it just clicked. And I was like, I can't be here anymore.
Yeah.
It's not safe for me. It's not safe for my child. I can't do this anymore. And that day I packed up all my stuff. He was outside my car. I started my car and I drove off. And I left him at the mall. Yeah. my dad had to come and pick him up. And by the time he got back to the apartment, I had all my stuff. I put my stuff in my parents' car and I left.
Wow.
Yeah.
And did you ever go back to him after that? What was the process like after that?
So, I mean, you know, we were married, so I didn't want to just be like, it's done for, it's over, I'm done, whatever. Mm-hmm. Wipe my hands clean of the situation. I did, you know, for a while, you know, we thought about, we went to counseling.
Mm-hmm.
We went to marriage counseling. We went to Christian marriage counseling. I feel like we tried whatever we could do. You know, we thought that maybe us being apart, you know, would make us want to be together more, but it didn't really work out that way.
Mm-hmm.
He got more angry. He got more upset. Luckily, when I was pregnant, he didn't have the ability to be violent towards me because I was living at my parents at the time. I didn't really like speak to him. I didn't really talk to him. I kind of was just, you know, I was in protective mode because I was in a very vulnerable position.
Yeah.
And the last thing I wanted to do was to jeopardize my child's life.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very protective.
Yeah. Was there any, but did you ever have any altercations between like him and your family at all? Like your dad had gotten, like, what was that like, let me ask? Because I imagine it's a really tense situation and for your dad to come and your parents to be there and stuff.
So my parents used to talk to him all the time, like privately. Like the way that he would manipulate things is that he would tell everyone how miserable he was. And then when, like, it came to me, he would say everything was fine. So people would see me as, like, the bad person who's doing all these things when he's telling me everything's okay. So, you know, he would tell my parents that he's unhappy. I'm not doing anything. I don't cook. I don't clean. Fun fact, the brief moment that I was living there, he gained 40 pounds. But I didn't cook. So I don't know how he gained 40 pounds. Because, you know, I didn't cook for him.
Yeah.
But he gained 40 pounds. And so, you know, there was one incident, and this is kind of like, he did say that, you know, there was something inappropriate happening between me and my family, and I told my dad that, and my dad asked him, and he didn't say anything. He literally just walked away. So when it comes to him owning up to his stuff, I feel like he didn't want to do that because he wanted to just put the blame on me type of thing. But I mean, yeah, my parents talked to him a lot. And even after, and my mom, she's a very firm believer in marriage. My parents are both priests, so they believe in marriage. They believe in, like, you know, the importance and the unity of marriage. So, you know, she didn't want to see her daughter go through something so tragic. And so she tried her best to, you know, mend that relationship and, you know, try to make things better for us. But I don't know.
Yeah.
There were just so many things that were said that I couldn't forgive myself. You know, if I were to go back to that relationship, it would be like, I'm saying it's okay
mm-hmm.
for him to say the things that he said and do the things that he did.
How is your relationship now with him? Is there even a relationship?
No, we haven't spoken since, actually, the last time we spoke was in June, when I was on my way here to Disneyland.
Mm-hmm.
He called me, and, you know, he was complaining about child support, and, you know, he told me that he lost his job, he doesn't know how to pay child support, and I kind of told him, well, that's not something I can control.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't file for it because however I am on, or I'm not anymore, really, but since at the time, because I didn't work really,
yeah.
I was on public assistance. And when you're on public assistance, if you have a child and that the child's father's not, his name is not on the birth certificate, which his name is not, they try to figure out who the father is. And when they figure out who the father is, that's when they, go after child support, because gotcha. Since I'm getting money through the state, they want to make sure that I'm not just sucking up money from the state and he's still like living with me,
gotcha.
And we're benefiting together. So
I see.
It was one of those things.
So is he in your daughter's life?
Not at all. He saw her like 3 or 4 times.
Uh-huh.
But I'm assuming it was just too rough for him, because, you know, he would think about like the family that we could have been.
Mm-hmm.
And he understood that, you know, he messed it up,
yeah,
or we messed it up, you know. So
do you think he understands that?
I honestly don't know. When I first saw him after I had the baby, it was weird, because I'm not gonna sit here and lie, like, he is the father of my child, so I will always love him, but I'm not in love with him. Like, I appreciate the person that he is for giving me the 50% that I need to create the most beautiful person that I have ever imagined. However, when it comes to like a friendship, relationship, that type of aspect of things, I don't think I could go back to that, and I don't think he understands like what really happened, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Do you worry then about your daughter growing up like without a father? Like,
all
is that
the fucking, can I curse on here?
Yeah.
All the fucking time. All the fucking time. When she was first born, I was just a hot mess. Well, also, I think I had separation anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And postpartum depression, just a little bit, I mm-hmm. think. But I was crying all the time about the fact that, you know, it was my fault, because he always told me it was my fault because I broke up the family, and that she's never going to have a father, and that she's going to have, I don't want to say daddy issues, but she's going to have daddy issues because she doesn't have someone who's strong in her life who's going to be a positive
mm-hmm.
role model and show her how a man should be and all that, you know, all that stuff. Because, you know, my dad, he's not my biological father, but he's been with me since I was 2 months old.
Mm-hmm.
So he's basically the only man that I know of.
Yeah.
So, you know, I wanted her to be able to have that. And luckily for her, she has her great uncle. She has two uncles, and she has her amazing godfather / uncle. who is like in her life,
yeah.
And, you know, are positive male figures that she can look up to and realize that that's how, you know, a man is supposed to be.
She'll be more than fine. But I'm truly like the way your brother Apollo is here for, like,
oh my god,
my like
you would
she
think
has a father figure.
You
life.
Would think that, like, I'm the aunt and he's the father, because, like,
aww.
When we're like at grocery stores and he's with us, he has to push the cart. Or, like, he has to be in control of her.
Aww.
And it's so funny, the relationship, it melts my heart.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm so appreciative of him and, like, my living situation, being able to have family
yeah.
with her around.
So
and
funny.
So yeah, yeah. And so, you know, I'm their relationship is amazing. Her relationship with her grandparents are amazing. Her grandpa and her grandma, they love the crap out of her.
Aww.
She literally has them wrapped on every single phalange, appendix, like every little hair on her body. Like, she rules the house, and I wouldn't change, like I said like 1,000 times before, I wouldn't change anything for her or my situation.
Yeah.
What, this is a two-part question. what's the stigma of being a single mother and being a young single mother? Because you're 23?
I'm 23.
What's the stigma of being a young single mother, and how do you feel like you don't give into that at all?
I don't know. I think it's changed. I feel like the stigma might be that, you know, we're spiteful because, you know, we ain't got no baby daddy. Our baby daddies ain't shit. Our baby daddies don't see our babies. Our baby daddies don't do any of that stuff. And, you know, I mean, it's true. It's true. But, like, I don't go around bad-mouthing him. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to sit here and, you know, say those things in front of my daughter because I don't want her to think that, you know, 50% of her is bad or 50% of her is wrong. Because, you know, ultimately, I did decide to make a child with this person. So, obviously, there's some things that aren't wrong with him.
Oh.
Exactly.
That's a lot. As we talked last week, she was like, there's one thing I missed. It's that.
When you find a good one.
When you find a good one, you...
It's hard to let that go.
Oh, yeah. No matter how crazy they are. And so, I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to figure out, like, any other, like, stigmas or stereotypes that single mothers have. I've heard that, you know, they might be easy because, you know, they already have a kid. Mm-hmm. So, they're easy to shag. Mm-hmm. Not that easy.
I'm easy to shag.
Are you looking to shag?
We're not gonna talk about that.
Or
found. Oh. Yeah, I'm talking to this guy. It's like super new, but I like him. And he's nice. Mm-hmm.
I think there is just a huge, like, negative connotation, I think. One, being a single mother, like, that's a social thing. But being single and black mother, I think people have this really, really negative mindset.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I found that you have never given into that. At all, and I think it's different knowing somebody as well, because it's easy to have some mindset when we don't know anybody at all. But you don't come off that way at all.
We've only been talking about this for what, 15 minutes, and like I can already tell that you're not that kind of person where you're like spiteful or bitter or like I don't know. It doesn't seem like you're carrying a lot of negative energy about that situation. Like, I'm sure it hurt in the moment and stuff, but it seems like you've, like, worked through a lot of that.
Yeah, I went to therapy for about a year and a half. I'm still actually going, and I feel like that actually helped a lot with, you know, clearing negative energies and learning how to forgive someone without being able to actually forgive them or without getting an apology.
Gotcha.
So, you know, I've learned that, you know, this is the life I have. This is the cards I've been dealt with. I either can crumble under the pressure or I can become a beautiful diamond. And so
I'm becoming a diamond.
And a big old one at it.
So. No, you said, yeah, I remember you said something like that when you had done the This Is Me project as well. You said some lines.
That's you? Yeah, oh that my god. How did I not? I'm sorry. I'm watching I didn't realize. Wait, did you do that here?
No, we did that at our house.
Okay.
In the country.
Okay. In the country. Or we go shoot some critters.
But yeah, it's funny because for a moment I was like did she do the project before Sanaa or afterwards? And no, you'd already had her.
Yeah, it was for her. Okay. You came over for her baptism.
Yes.
Yeah, that's why you were there.
Yes.
You did.
In her baptism, that's why I was, what's the word? Was it dedicated?
Yes, you dedicated her responsibilities. Yes.
No, that was also beautiful. I think I cried. When like no one was looking at me. Because I'm not like religious, so it was really just like being in that situation. But at the same time, like I hate kids usually.
But kids love you for some odd reason. I've been noticing that. You are daddy goals.
Thank you. I attract positive energy. I just put out negative energy sometimes with little children. And so I was definitely nervous because it's more so I'm scared of babies. I'm scared because I just like they're just babies are really fragile and I get scared.
Yeah,
and hurting them. You know,
and she was tiny.
She was, and you know, and I mean, and like Like, it's my best friend, my best friend's child. It's an extension of her. If anything happens to her in my hands, like, I, like, so, like, I mask as I hate children, but it's more like, I'm afraid of anything happening to them under my watch and it being my fault.
Yeah.
And so I just get really nervous. And so I was just really scared and really, really, like, hesitant at first. But then you said, like, when she invited me, like, there was, like, not for a second was I like, oh, should I go? I was like, yes, I want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And doing and holding your voices. So it was, like, such a beautiful moment for me because I, you know, like, so my cousin's child, I didn't hold him. So I think he was, like, a year old, I think. Because
oh, wow.
I just couldn't. Like, it was
you're
so hard.
Scared.
It was just really hard for me. And then, so it's just because my cousin said the same thing when I was born. He was like, I can't hold you for, like, at least 6 months.
I feel like
so
men
scared.
Have a hard time with small babies.
I'm just scared. And, like,
yeah.
Like, and my mom just claims, like, women, like, women have, like, this is a natural intuition, like, what to do when, like,
mm-hmm.
when they had care. And, like men in the short part aren't taught that either.
Yeah.
And so, it's, yeah, so, like, I was just really nervous. But then, like, seeing her, I was like, oh, she's fucking beautiful. Like,
mm-hmm.
I wish I was more present. But at the same time, I also know that when she's able to, like, when she was, like, speak and stuff, I'm going to be more present as well.
Yeah.
So that way, like, I'm there for, like, when she, like, talked to me, and when she, like, she knows who I am and stuff. I'm so excited to be more present in situations.
I wanted to ask you one more question before we move on from, like, whole parenthood topic. Like, how do you deal with the pressure of being, like, a good parent and, like, you are a single parent as well? So, like, how do you deal with that pressure? I'm sure.
Oh, my gosh. You don't know if you're being a good parent.
Uh-huh.
You don't.
Yeah.
I freak out about her every single moment of the day,
yeah.
about her development, making sure that she's on track, making sure that, you know, she's not getting sick. She's not, you know, like, it's just one of those things where, like, it's out of your control and it's so hard
mm-hmm.
to, like, be able to just be okay, because at the end of the day, you don't know if you're doing a good job.
Yeah.
I don't know, you know, I'm not saying it's me being here is bad, but I don't know if I'm missing something significant with me being here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, you know, mental health is a big thing in my family. And so, you know, I'm always freaking out about, you know, making sure that she's not developing delay, that she's not showing any signs of any type of mental illness. And she's only 16 months, and I'm already thinking about all these things.
Yeah.
I'm, like, thinking about what school can she go to if she does have a mental disability. Like, we'll be on top of it and, you know, make sure she has a good IEP and, you know, all the teachers and all this other stuff. So, like, it's hard
mm-hmm.
being a good parent, especially when you're by yourself.
Yeah.
But I feel like, you know, having my parents there, especially my mom, it's been a lot of help, because I literally will cry to her and be like, I don't know what's going on with her. She's like, she's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what you're talking about. You need to calm down. And it's just one of those things.
Like, perspective.
Yeah.
Sure.
Because, you know, you see other kids around her same age, even though she is, they like to tell me, because she was born a month early, she is quote unquote a month behind. Yeah. So, you know, developmentally she's not as technically she's a month behind.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, for me, I'm kind of just like, she's 16 months. She's almost 17 months. She should be doing the same thing that any other 17 month old is doing.
Yeah.
But I realize she also likes to freak me out. she does on purpose. She knows how to say cookie, dog, bye, hi, mom. Dog, dad, or she says da, so dad, but when I ask her to say it, she won't say
nothing.
But when my grandma when her grandma asked her to say it, when her grandpa asked her to say it, when her uncle asked her to say it, she says it like that,
away.
Like that.
She's like, mom, I'm gonna hold out on you.
Yeah,
that right?
Yeah, legit. When I ask her, I'm like, oh my god, something's wrong with my child. They're gonna put her in speech therapy. They don't. She's wrong with her. And she's like, nah, bitch. I just don't want to fucking talk to you. I want to freak you the fuck out.
Oh my god.
So, like,
oh,
it's hard because, like, I know she can do these things,
mm-hmm.
and she is a smart ass little kid.
Oh my, she is.
She is so smart. She is so smart. I was gonna bring her, but you know, mommy had to drink her juice, so.
Oh, I would have been designated babysitter. What the fuck?
Oh.
You should have told me.
Oh my god. My parents were like, "Can you bring her baby?" I was like, "This would be vacation, mom." No, she's like, "It's been a watch." And I was like,
"Okay, next time I'll watch her."
Nothing. I'll watch her. What the fuck? I'll watch her.
Wait,
we're
having
fun. Enjoy yourself.
Have
working and just, you know, get lost there, bitch. Get lost there. It's really fine. So it's like, her mom lives on a level of chill. Like, her mom lives, like, on, like, a planet. I just, like...
Her mom?
Yeah. Like, to, I mean, to my theory, she's, like, a planet on the sun. Like, she's always, like, I've heard sometimes when she's just freaking out, and she just holds it, and she's like...
There's some, like, moms just have this thing where, like, I don't know.
Because they've been through it.
So they understand. They're like your, what's not, like your zen, your, like, enlightenment of, like, okay, she knows what the fuck to do.
Yeah.
She can...
That's why I encourage everyone to have a kid while their mom's around. Yeah. Everyone!
Yeah. Pop them out! Go!
at least one. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, your second one, you'll understand more what you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, no. Because, I mean, she's had three kids. So, she understands everything that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
While me, this is my first kid, my first pregnancy, my first everything. Mm-hmm. And I'm just freaking out about everything.
Yeah.
Every...
Which is also very normal.
Yeah.
Not, you know,
I know. I know it's very normal, but it's still like, why is this happening to me?
Yeah,
can this happen to someone else? Like, no. It's,
how do you think it'd be different if you were living on your own?
On my own?
Yeah.
I would have no hair. I'd be broke. I'd probably be really fat, so just be eating top ramen. And God knows what else. I don't think I'd be able to enjoy her as much. Like, being with my parents, I'm able to save money for her and for me and for our future. I'm able to, like, you know, just get better insight on how to do things. Mm-hmm. And I know later on in life, if I have another kid or when I have another kid, I'll know what to do. And I won't be freaking out because I have my mom giving me so much information and so much insight and so much, you know, things that I can do to, you know, make things easier for me. But yeah, no, don't ever. I don't even want to even think about that.
And there's no shame in doing that either.
No, there's no shame in that at all.
Yeah.
No.
I feel like some people might think, like, oh, I have to try to do it all on my own. And, like,
yeah, no.
I
think that being with family, if you have the option to, especially if you are a single parent, be with family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They are, especially if your family's supportive, it's the best thing ever because, you know, your kid gets to grow up with their relatives.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my parent, like I said before, my parents' relationship with my daughter is the most cutest relationship ever. They love her so much. And I'm so fortunate to have them in my life. And I don't think they get that. Like, you know, they worry about me and, like, you know, making sure that I'm okay, but they worry about her more, and that just makes me so much happier. Like, I'm so blessed to be able to have them as my parents and to be, you know, having the situation that I have, because not a lot of people have this. And so, you know.
It's a immense privilege. A lot of those parents who don't want their kids to come back,
mm-hmm.
live in Chicago. So it's a immense privilege. I think everyone has an opportunity to do so. I totally agree.
Yeah. I'm very lucky. And it wouldn't change anything. Like, I keep saying, I wouldn't change anything. I would get a man.
That's what girl keeps saying.
I would get a man, you know. Nice.
That will come. A man will come.
A
man will come. More kids will come, and more happiness will come too.
Yes.
Besides being a mother, what's your other occupation?
So I am an after-school program facilitator for Stockton Unified School District.
Okay, what do you do?
So basically, that's what my dad does. It has like this like super official sounding title, and I sound so like legit and illegit, but legit. I'm literally like, so I don't know if you guys have them out here, but, you know, Stockton Unified, we have after school programs.
Yeah,
so
we do.
Kids from, you know, after school, they get to stay basically. However, ours, since we are funded through the state of California, ours are academically based. So I make sure that basically the program is run smoothly. I have 6 staff currently that work with me, not under me, but with me, to ensure that the 120 kids that are enrolled in the program are getting everything that they need to improve academically. And so I'm in charge of like paperwork and enrolling kids, dropping kids, behavioral plans. I'm front in line if something were to happen with a student. I deal with more of the site issues,
mm-hmm.
and making sure that, you know, relationship with teachers are good. My relationship with the principal is good. My relationship with the janitors are good, you know. So it's very public relations in a sense, because I'm dealing with people every single day. I'm dealing with kids every day. I'm dealing with parents every day. It's one of those types of situations. And I started this is my first year, and I absolutely love it. I like my site that I'm at. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna lie though, when I first started, it was the worst ever.
Why? In what way?
I think because, you know, I come off really strong. I have this really strong personality, in my opinion. I don't know, I cannot come off that way. And, you know, coming from that and having the facility that was there before was there for 5 years. Mm-hmm. So some of the parents that were there, they've known her their whole entire lives of when their kids were there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she was Latina, and most of the people that are there are Latina, or most of the kids are there, they are Latino. And so, you know, you have me, who's African-American. And, you know, apparently African-Americans and Hispanics don't really get along. I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. No, I had no clue. So, you know, being a strong, I don't say independent, but me being a strong, independent Black woman. Me, you know, me being all those things, and then coming off to these parents and saying, hey, I need this, this, and this from you in order for your kid to stay in the program. They didn't like that. Mm-hmm. So my issue wasn't really with the kids, because the kids understood that, you know, the old facilitator moved on to a different position. I'm here now. Things are going to be changing. This is what we have to do.
Yeah.
Obviously, some of the older kids had an issue with it, because they were with the old facilitator since the beginning of time. Mm-hmm. And those were the parents that I had to talk to, and those were the parents that had an issue with me. But now it's a lot more smoothed down. It's a lot calmer. It's a lot easier. I'm able to cope with things a lot easier. Because mm-hmm. at first, I literally was just, I was calling him. I was putting on Facebook. I was freaking out, because I was just like, I can't do this. This is hard. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I'm doing, and people hate me. And it was hard to, you know, that first month of realizing that people don't like you.
Is it full time or part time?
It's full time. So I have benefits. I got health, I got dental, I got optical, so hit me up.
she got her 403B.
Yeah. I got my retire, I get CalPERS, Social Security, and my 403B. So
we need to be a Flexella tied up. Let's watch our time. Let's buy some optical
programs to get to coordinate. All right.
But that's such a good lesson, though, because I think I always forget at the beginning of things that they fucking suck, and I always go through that, like, you're in that right now. It's like that 1 to 3 month period where you feel like the fucking world's gonna end, and you want to quit the job, and you're over it, and
exactly.
But then you're proof that, like, you get through it, and you love it, and you grow. That's
so true.
And I'm still growing, and I'm still learning, and, like, I'm not gonna lie to you. When I go back on Monday, I'm gonna wanna fucking quit. I'm gonna wanna fucking quit, because they haven't been at school for a whole entire week, because we're at fall break right now. Mm-hmm. So they haven't been at school at week, meaning no teachers, no rules, no nothing.
Yeah.
So they're gonna be, like, bouncing off the wall crazy. I'm gonna be having to talk to, like, 20 different parents, and I'm literally gonna be getting eye rolls, and I'm just gonna go home and drink. Yep. My Patron.
It's Patron or drink a choice?
Oh, yes.
Have you always wanted to do this job?
No.
What changed? What did you want to do?
You know what I wanted to do. I wanted to become a plastic surgeon so I could get myself tits. Legit. That was like, my whole entire high school career, I wanted to become a plastic surgeon so that way I can give myself some, like, nice, big, round porn star tits.
No, why didn't she have planned she was going to be basketball wife? Basketball wife, right?
No. Football wife.
Football
I was going to go to Georgia Tech University. Mm-hmm. I was going to meet the love of my life. He was going to be a 6'2 linebacker. And
sounds good.
He was going to have, like, this exotic look, green eyes. And then we were going to move back to California. and he was going to become a lawyer. I was going to become a doctor. And our kids would be golden peaches. Because California's the golden state. Georgia's the peach state. And then
that's
together,
so cute.
They would have been golden peaches.
Oh, my God.
None of that happened.
She was not buy herself a new butt, buy herself a new rack. She's not have like a nice ass car. She
I was gonna give myself like the. I don't know if you guys watch Love and Hip Hop, but Miss Nikki Baby, I was like that was my body in my head. Or Cardi B,
okay.
Nicki Minaj, not Kim Kardashian because she overdid her butt, but like you know, I wanted tits, little waist, and then like this big old ass. And then when I got to college, I kind of changed it and wanted to become a sonographer. So people who like do like the bellies when you're pregnant mm-hmm. and like the radiology tech and yeah. all that realm. And then that was like my like go-to for like the longest. And then I got pregnant and I wanted to just be there for her. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be with her. I wanted to be with her as much as possible. So I decided I wanted to become a teacher. Fuck no. I commend teachers. I can't work with kids like that. It's so funny that I say that, and now I'm like working with kids, basically doing that. Not really, but
and
really.
A mother.
Yeah, and I'm a mom. But no, I wanted to do well, it's kind of funny because like my major now is still technically medical. Like I can do medical stuff with it, but. I kind of went from like medical to teaching to now back to like behavioral health
and like clinical type stuff. Is that what you said? You call it clinical?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How much longer of that?
So I have a while. Mm-hmm. I took 6 months off when I got pregnant, or took like basically that. Yeah, I took 6 months off after I had my child, and then I took a year. No, I took another 6 months off before I got married. So I basically took a whole year off from school, and I will be completed with my BS in behavioral health in 2019.
Exciting.
Yeah. And then I'm going to take 6 months off and then get my master's.
Nice.
So
it's very exciting.
So yeah. Earlier you were saying that if you're on social media and... and I know outside before we start recording or something, you have cleansed yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Social media. Why?
Practice cleansing.
I don't want to say appreciate, but I didn't understand the perspective of what a lot of people were portraying how their lives mm-hmm. are on social media. Like for me, I literally just post pictures of my kid and like my face, like every other 10th post. Legit. Like, you look at my feed, it's my kid, Chewbacca, my kid, me, Chewbacca, my kid.
So Chewbacca.
I love Chewbacca.
Hey, baby.
Oh, my God.
If you listen to this, I love you.
No.
So, yeah, but no, I don't know. Like, I didn't feel like it was benefiting me in any type of way. I didn't feel as though I was gaining anything. And, like, I understand that, like, you know, us being the generation that we are, that's what we do. We share our lives. We share all those things. But I just felt like some things just needed to be private, and I just needed to take a step back and really evaluate, like, what's important to me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't find social media... need it. I don't need it to survive. I don't need it to, you know, be aware and be alert and like have a good time. Like I don't need everyone else to know what I'm doing with my
life. I love that you're saying that. Especially as someone who's like younger and millennial, because I don't hear many people, young people saying that.
None.
I find that it's very opposite. And like I struggle with that. I don't know if you do. Oh, I think we've talked about it before, because it's like hard, because obviously that's like kind of part of our job. And
yeah.
So especially for him, it's like if you're trying to get out there or something, like everyone tells you that's what you kind of have to do. You have to have a social media presence.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, but then I struggle with it too, because it's kind of like, well, this feels fake. Like
yeah.
everyone's portraying something that's not real. Very few people are actually putting the truth about their lives.
Yeah.
It's like, how do you even balance that? So I think it's really cool that you actually do that.
Yeah, exactly. And like, I feel like, you know, when it comes to social media and, you know, just being on our phones in general,
mm-hmm.
like we've detached ourselves from being able to actually have a conversation with someone who's right in our face, because we're so used to being able to react and disengage ourselves from from having personal relationships with people because of the fact that it could be on our phone. Mm-hmm. We can, you know, it's an instant gratification thing. It's actually really funny that we're talking about this because on my way here, sitting in that wonderful traffic, I was listening to Sirius XM Radio Channel 45, and they were talking about this exact topic.
The Shade Channel?
Yeah.
The Shade Hip Hop Channel?
No, 44. Sorry, 44.
Oh, Hip Hop XM?
With Rude Jude.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And
okay.
he was with some doctor, and they were, like, talking about, you know, how social media has now done this, has chemically altered our brain to the same way drugs has, and it's addicting. And, you know, people are addicted to it. If they don't feel like they're sharing their lives, or they're not posting something, or if they're not doing something, then, you know, they have withdrawals, basically. And they were saying that about, on average, that people spend, I think, 30 hours of the week on some type of social.
It's crazy.
On like, looking at a screen. And 10% of that is on social media. And so, you know, I don't want to do that. Like, don't get me wrong, I have it, I use it every so often, but I feel like my life has just been so much better without it. I feel more complete, I feel more happy. I don't feel like I'm competing with anyone to show how better my kid is, how better my life is, mm-hmm. how happy I am, because I don't need to prove anything to anyone.
Yeah. I love that, seriously. You're speaking to my soul.
I speak to a lot of souls.
If I didn't work for social media, I could delete mine off. Actually, I still kind of could. But, I mean, I do it for work, so it kind of sucks. I have to stay, like, plugged into that way.
But, you know, people like you, like, I commend you because I feel like having a social presence and being, you know, on social media, it's exhausting. You know, you have to be current with events. You have to, you know, say things that don't offend too many people, but you're still being true to yourselves mm-hmm. and not, you know, just going around trying to please everybody. So I commend you guys for doing it. I wouldn't do it, but... No, actually, I lied. For like 2-ish seconds, I wanted to have a YouTube channel.
You should do it. Oh, I feel like you'd be so good at that.
But I can't keep up.
But you should just like, don't pay attention to the comments. Yeah, don't pay attention to the subscribers or views. Just like, post the shit you care about.
Like,
well,
I definitely want to like I feel like want to build myself as a, like a brand in a way. And like build myself to be a public figure. I also like when I post stuff, I like I'm like don't pick your phone back up for another hour. Like don't like you don't need to see what they have to say or what they're coming like you have. It's not important. You don't need to do that. When I post is what I post. It doesn't matter who likes what, but that. Two, when if I post something, I like I will always be like my English. Like my like a lot of times when I post like long stuff. And it's always about that whole idea of, like, I'm not here to represent a false line. This is, you can build a following and still detach yourself from that. You don't have to be, like, everything's sponsored, blah, blah, blah. Like sponsored, I imagine, is great, but it's, like you know, I think a lot about, like, Meg and stuff. Like, mm-hmm. Meg does what she wants to do mm-hmm. with herself. And so, like, she has complete control of her brand and who she is. And that's when that I, like, aspire in that sense is, like, because I don't want to be controlled or, like, I don't want to, like, say the right thing. What I say is what I say. And I mean when I say I'm not here to like play nice. Mm-hmm. Like I'm here to like be myself. But it's just really interesting because it's also very hard to divorce that. And that's the like reason why like I want to have a full-time job because I want my brand to be separate from my career in a way kind of too. Mm-hmm. I would love if my brand became something, but I do want separation because I don't want to be absorbed into that. Because it's very easy and very hard to dilute it in that sense.
Well, it's also because of the fact that when you get that positive response or whatever type of response mm-hmm. you do, it does trigger the pleasure center in your brain. And that's why a lot of people are addicted to it. Mm-hmm. Because it does ultimately give them the same high as a drug possibly could.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I also realized as well, just saying that I totally did that to you today, and I'm so sorry about that.
What?
When we're so crap because that's when you call me about the time we were posting the picture, and so we're eating, and Meg really was the idea because like so I don't have my phone, but like, mm-hmm. totally, like we're eating it out with like octopuses, Mm-hmm. I know, like, that could have more, we could have a direction. I mean, we wouldn't have anyways, but we could have a direction. And then your mom went afterwards, so we were on FaceTime, this and that, so it's totally fine. But yeah, but it's like, I apologize. I acknowledge that I did that to you. The idea.
So there's still... Advice. Oh, sorry.
There's definitely still that nuance there,
But I feel like for me, that was different because you were working. You know what I mean? Like, you weren't we still were interacting with each other afterwards, and we were still talking. I think it's different when, let's say we're on a date, and you're just on your phone, your phone, and you're not interacting with me. Mm-hmm. However, when we're texting, it's like night and day.
Yeah.
That's why I personally, detach myself, because, being a single mom, obviously, I want a daddy, eventually. So, I have to put forth my best self. And for me, I feel like my best self is, being able to talk about it, mm-hmm. not just through text, but verbally. Mm-hmm. Because I can say I'm great via text, and you can read it in a different way than me actually saying it.
For sure.
So.
Yeah, it's a tricky thing to...
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard, especially if you're online dating, because they're basically looking at you from a... Oh, look at all... This is, her best self.
Mm-hmm.
And then you realize that, there's more.
So, yeah.
So.
Oh, that's a whole other topic, too. Online dating.
Mm-hmm.
Dating people.
Do you
want to
talk about these?
We could.
Yeah. How is the process of online dating?
So, funny fact. I don't like people. I don't like meeting people.
So basically you wanted to strike me down earlier.
No, not at all. It's so funny because when I first saw you, I was like on pictures and stuff, I was like, she is probably the most patient, loving, understanding person because she lives with Jordan. And I love this boy to death. He is my person.
Oh, yeah.
He is my favorite person on this planet. But I think if we were to live together, we've joked about it, when we're really old and we're halfway dead, we would kill each other.
Yeah.
Literally. I would leave him on the stairs.
Honestly, that's an insult. Oh my God. Excuse me.
I would leave him on the stairs of the little, the thing that people sit on when they can't go downstairs, but they don't want to leave their house.
Yeah.
It would break. And I would leave him there to starve to death while I go do my life. That's how it is. But I would, I would throw some bread at him every now and then.
Make sure he's fed.
Yeah.
Keep
me alive.
Some water.
Yeah. But besides that, no. Yeah. I couldn't live with him. At all.
Yeah.
Especially since I know he likes to walk around naked, basically.
I
don't
want naked.
Well, now you don't, because, you got her here. You gotta have some decency, but I mean, I remember you at your house, you walk around your wife beater in your underwear, and I'll just be like, okay.
That's how I live. Bitch should be blessed. She should feel blessed if she sees all this booty right here, okay?
Sorry, but you're saying you don't like meeting new people and online dating.
I don't like meeting new people. However, I've been doing online dating since I was 18.
Mm-hmm.
At first, I did, the free ones, OKC,
mm-hmm.
POF. Mm-hmm. I did Tinder for a bit. I don't like Tinder.
That's a swiping?
Yeah, that's the swipe one.
Should we blush and never had to use that?
Yeah.
I had used it before.
How did you? Yeah.
Like 2 minutes, then she met the lover life, and she's been with him for God knows how long. Lucky little fish.
Did you tell him my life story a little bit?
No, he didn't. I'm just assuming.
Assuming, I was like...
She's like, yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Long time ago, though, but yeah.
So yeah, no. I've met all of my adult relationships on there,
mm-hmm.
and so that's why I met my husband. I met my ex boyfriend after my husband, and the guy that I'm talking to now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually on Match right now. My handle is.
I love the leg slide. No, I can see that, but she posed
for
that.
Just I can do it because they'll see or something. But
I can't see it. Yeah, but hair flip, leg down, just the whole thing.
Poses.
So yeah, but it's hard.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, especially me being a single African American female mother, they they never experienced it before, if that makes sense. They've never been with someone who's African American. Mm-hmm. So they expect, you know, I've been told that, like, oh, black girls are better in bed because they're more crazy, they're more wild, they like things differently. And I'm like, I don't know, I've never been with a black girl, so I can't tell you. And so, you know, and I also feel like, you know, the pressure that people put on each other to, because I feel like we're more in a more of a hookup society than a monogamous society. Yeah, and I'm a love monogamy person. Like, I can't hook up with, like, random people and, like, not have any connection with that. Yeah. So it's been okay. I feel like we can, it's like a more in-depth thing later on.
Do you date, do you have a preference for what type of ethnicity of guy you date, or?
No, I used to, because, you know, I do have a kid, and I kind of, if I were to have more kids, I wanted my kid to look
like
their siblings. Uh-huh. So I didn't want to have, like, this, like, half Latino baby and then have, like, black babies.
Gotcha.
But I don't personally care anymore at this point.
Yeah.
I really don't. Whoever comes.
Yeah.
Just come, please.
Literally or figuratively?
No, like both.
All the above. All the kinds of comes.
But yeah, no. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I am a little bit more like, you know, like ooh, towards, like, the Latinos. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, my daughter is half Latino or Latina. I don't know. It's one of those things. I don't know. And so, you know,
yeah,
and, like, I just, like, they're just cute.
That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah,
we all have something.
People have preferences.
But you know what's really funny though? When I, like, see people on, like, Match and stuff, and it's like their ethnic preference, and, like, it doesn't say black. I'm like, oh fuck you! You're such a racist.
It kind of feels offensive, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Kind of like, what do you mean, black girl?
Did she hear about all the sexual things that we can do?
See how crazy in bed we are? What are you talking about?
I think that's where people don't realize the difference of, like, preference and, like, just having a preference and, like, actively saying no to something. Like, like if you prefer white people over black people, okay. If you actively choose to say no to black people, you're being racist. The same thing. If you prefer thin people, be it saying no to a fat person, you are being fatphobic. Like, what? Oh, are you like that?
Who are you leaning back? I was kind of
like,
what
are you leaning back? Like,
we'll do it off air. It's fine.
So yeah, no. Okay,
but yeah. So I think preferences are totally. I think preferences are great. As long as people understand that they don't have to cross the line of, like, actively saying no to somebody because of X, Y, Z.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's why I don't purposely, like, have a preference, because I don't know who God has decided to be the next man of my life.
Yeah.
So I can't be like...
That's like, your preferences aren't skin color. Your preferences are other tendencies.
Oh, my God! My preferences are schlong sizes. Schlong sizes.
And, like, probably said financial stability, right?
I'm sorry. Financial stability. I like guys who are... I mean, well, here's my thing is that I understand that people have to go through a process to figure out what they're doing in life. And I'm going through that process. I don't expect people to have their shit together as, like, a collective whole thing. So, like, I understand people going through things and trying to find themselves and all that. I appreciate the process because I'm going through the process. So I'm not saying, like, you need to have this, this, and this for me to date you. I mean, having a job and a car would be nice, but everything else, you know, we can figure that out. But, you know, long sizes are kind of important. Just a little. Just a little. A little.
And she holds up a 10-inch. Yeah.
10-foot.
Yeah, 10-footer.
Are you trying to kill me?
Something you like this. I don't know why. I just like your legs. So.
So funny. Well.
So, poor Charles. As we're talking, I just realized that you have had a really huge metamorphosis as a person. Truly. And I think, and I mean, we've grown together as friends as people, but sometimes I think when we don't see them as much, and when you actually get to talk to them, you realize how much they've changed or evolved. And I just really, I think you've evolved immensely, especially knowing you since we're both immature people, you know, since we're both kids. I think you've grown amazingly. I think having a child has been the best thing. I see how much, so like how much my metamorphosis came when we had tonight. It's absolutely beautiful to see, and the relationship you have with her, and the love you have and love you share, and just like knowing you, like knowing your heart and your spirit. It's just I'm really happy to have known back then. I'm immensely happy to know it now. I just think you have grown so much.
Don't get confused, guys. I'm cold as ice.
As they both have tears in their
eyes. I'm not crying.
You're crying.
No, truly. I'm really proud, and I'm really happy. I'm really happy that our friendship has grown as we have grown as well.
And I say this all the time to you, how much I appreciate you being here and you being the person that you have been in my life. Because, you know, when I said it in your birthday post, like honestly, like I can't thank you enough for all the things you have done for me and all the stuff that you have done for me, and just being there and being such an amazing friend when I've been going through a lot of crap, because you were like one person that I knew that I could turn to and that would be there for me, even though you are 354 miles away from me, literally. You know, I knew that like if I needed you, that you would probably like, you know, text me back 12 hours later, but you would still be there.
I knew that text. I think that's the last time I'm here.
So yeah, but yeah, no.
Yeah, I love you.
I love you too.
Thank you so much for being on our episode.
Seriously, thank you.
I've been asking to be on this since the day you made a like. I wish I can like. I'm gonna find that text or whatever I sent you, and you're gonna screenshot it. Because legit, I've been wanting to be on here forever.
We definitely dropped some knowledge, so thank you. We had a lot of amazing things to say that I think will help a lot of people.
Thank you for having me. I highly appreciate it.
Oh, hold on. I forgot to ask you, why are you so cute?
Oh, yeah!
Thank you for listening to The Self Podcast. We appreciate you, and we are so honored to have you with us on this journey of exploration.
Join us next week as we take another step on this road to discovery. I'm Jordan Daniels.
And I am Emily Ayers.
And this is The Self Podcast.